of the Oriental world. Another lauds the wisdom by which he governed. Plutarch, Greek biographer and moralist, declares that in wisdom and virtue he surpassed all kings. It was Cyrus who led the armies that overthrew the Babylonian Empire on the night of King Belshazzar's infamous party. This story is recorded in Daniel chapter 5, and we'll probably go through that story before this evening is over. I hope we have time. It was Cyrus who was the king in that story, who is not named. A study of the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy recorded in Daniel chapter 9 is so important because the whole idea that there will be a tribulation of 7 years duration is based on the teaching that the 70th week is yet future. That's what some people believe. I personally believe it is history. It is past. And the Lamb of God that Sister Martha was talking about tonight, crucified, happened in the middle of the 70th week. Amen. It's a blessed, blessed thing for me. Praise the Lord. Where's Martha? There you are. God bless you. Beautiful, beautiful. I appreciate all of that. Okay, but first let's read about why the Jews went into Babylonian captivity. Does anybody know why the Jews, God's people, went into Babylonian captivity? I'll tell you why. The very same reason that any Christian goes into the devil's bondage and captivity. That's why. Because we get rebellious against God and disobey God. Listen to it in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 21. 2 Chronicles 36, 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Do you see anything like that going on today? I do. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Even when Jews, or even when Christians, do these things, rebel against God, transgress his law, God still has compassion. And it is in love and mercy and compassion that he chastens us, that he chastises us, that he takes us to the woodshed, that he gives us a good whipping, that he brings us into the bondage of the devil sometimes, until the only way out is Jesus, help me, Jesus, and deliverance by the word of God. Praise the Lord. But here's what they did. They mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. They misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till, the Bible says, till there was no remedy. Just think of the people who take liberty to speak against their pastor, against the elders of the church, and against church leadership. Listen to verse 16 again. But they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. When a preacher preaches and says, folks, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, some people respond, I don't like that kind of preaching. Let's get another pastor. And they rise up and mock and say evil words against their prophets and against their pastors and against their leadership. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought unto Babylon, and they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. I just wonder sometimes if America isn't suffering the vengeance of God, when God is causing all kinds of things to come upon the churches, all the laws against the churches. I'll tell you, I wouldn't put it past God. Amen. He has a history of doing things like this.
And them that had escaped from the sword,
ha-ha, we got by with it, carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. That's why they went into Babylonian captivity. Israel, the 10 tribes, had already gone into Assyrian captivity and were dispersed among the nations. Daniel comes into the picture here. Daniel was a man who sought God. I can picture Daniel in Babylonian captivity, a good man, a man that loved God, a man that wanted to obey God, a man that prayed for his nation and himself. I can just picture him poring over the manuscripts. I can picture him reading his Bible, in other words, or his scroll. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 3 says, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken. This is Jeremiah now, but he's going to talk about something else in a minute. Rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened, and the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. Go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. I think that a lot of things have become gods today myself. I think that sports has become a god. I think that the Green Bay Packers have become a god. I think that a lot of Wisconsinites have worshipped them a whole lot more than they do the Lord of glory. And I think that that's sin. I think that that's shame. That's a shame to this land. Go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant. He calls another heathen king, the king of Babylon, his servant, because he's going to do God's will. It's a shame, isn't it, when we, who should be the servants of God, God has to take somebody else to fight against us and make him his servants. My servant. And will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Read Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, or Darius, however you want to pronounce it, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books of the Bible, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord, and I just read it, came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Jeremiah 29:10. Again, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. But see, there would be a repentance. Just read, this is so exciting to me. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart, or with all of your heart, with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now that's Judah. Not Israel. Leviticus
25, 1 through 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt plow thy field, or sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the Lord, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. And I wonder sometimes if people don't suffer health problems and they don't suffer mental problems because they will not take Sunday and spend it on the Lord Jesus. They will not spend their afternoons worshiping God, reading their Bibles, taking a nap, so they can be full of life and be able to sing in the evening service. Oh, saints of God, don't let your Sundays get so busy that you mock God and you don't appreciate Him for giving you a day of rest. Hallelujah. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord. And I know that some people have to work on Sundays. Then find a day. I don't think that God is so particular of a particular day. Really, it's just a wonderful thing that He gave us one day, generally speaking, when we're all off work and we can all go to church. Praise the Lord. Okay? But God knows. Daniel knew that the Jews were guilty. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, beginning. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, we already read this verse, the first two verses, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the... See, Daniel knew what was wrong. He read these books. He got under conviction. And even though it was prophesied, he prayed. Even though their deliverance was prophesied, he prayed for deliverance. Listen to me closely here. The word of the Lord. Wherefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face, Daniel talking, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Folks, sometimes it takes more than a little tip in the knee on your trouser around so you don't get a wrinkle in it when you kneel at the altar. Before we get through this world, it just might take some fasting and some praying and some sackcloth and some ashes and some humility before our God before we're going to get that deliverance that we want for our children and our families and our own salvation. I got stirred up when I read this. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. Listen to Daniel, this holy man of God, and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant, the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Listen, Daniel wasn't like a lot of people today. He didn't just look and say, she made me do it. He made me do it. Oh, if the church was only a little more this and that. Oh, they, my, blah, 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 blah. And we just have all kinds of excuses and we want to blame somebody else for something that's gone wrong in our lives or in our families. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to get down and pray. I have sinned. I have done wickedly. I have committed iniquity. I am guilty. I need repentance. I need God. Hallelujah. But we're perfect. We're pure. We're holy. We don't do anything wrong. I'm just saying, if the shoe fits, why don't we put it on? Why don't we put it on? We have sinned and committed iniquity, have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. This is Daniel, folks, that's praying. Daniel, who was holier than I. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. Listen, a pastor, a preacher can come and preach his heart out, and people will turn their noses up at it. They'll walk right out of that door and never, never kneel at an altar. Never pray that word of God in. I don't feel sorry for myself. I feel sorry for those who resist. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our princes, our kings, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us
confusion. You ever feel confused, folks? Do you ever wonder why? Unto us belongeth confusion, but unto you, Lord, righteousness.
Confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. It takes repentance, though. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. You know something, saints of God? We need to read the prayers in the Bible so that we can learn how to pray and talk to God. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. Listen to this. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine... This is Daniel praying. Let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from from thy city, Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, Daniel, and his supplications, Daniel's, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not, you want to learn something? We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Folks, remember, when you come up for divine healing, confess your sins. And the Bible says, call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. God supposes that you're repenting, that we are repenting of our sins. And if we have committed sins, they'll be forgiven us. Doesn't say that everybody sick has sinned. Doesn't say that. But we should search our hearts, should we not? Amen. And so, when we do come for prayer, when we do come for healing, we don't present our request for healing because of our goodness, because I haven't made any mistakes, because I'm holier than thou. No, that's not why. We don't present our supplications before you for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. The only reason any of us get healed from God is because of his great mercies. The only reason any of us receive the Holy Ghost is because of his great mercies. We'll never be worthy. I was never worthy. You'll never be worthy. In fact, I talked to a man one time who couldn't get the Holy Ghost. He couldn't get the Holy Ghost. It was at camp meeting. I mean, the presence of the Lord was glorious. He couldn't get the Holy Ghost. They introduced me to him. I just had the Holy Ghost come on me. I looked at that man with compassion, and I said, he said, why can't I get the Holy Ghost? And I said, because you're not good enough. I said, you are trusting your own righteousness. You trust in his righteousness, and you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And he received the Holy Ghost almost immediately. Praise the Lord. We've got to learn this, folks, that it is not, we don't get places with God because of our righteousnesses, but because of our repentance and our humility and for his great mercies. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, listen to this prayer. Oh, Lord, hear. Daniel. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. Oh, my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. He was desperate for the Jews. And we should be desperate for the Christians. We should, you and I should be up here at this altar when we pray for the churches of America, repenting for what churches are doing today. Churches promoting, or at least, I know, pastors agreeing with abortion, murder, cold-blooded murder across our land. Finding no fault with whatever people are being accused of in high places. Honey, it's America that's sick. It's the citizens of America that are sick. Amen. And we need to pray for America. We need to pray for ourselves and for them. So Daniel's praying, oh Lord, hear, oh Lord, forgive, oh Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake. Oh my God, for thy church, for thy city, and thy people, for thy church and the Christians and the saints that are called by your name and bringing disgrace to your name. Okay, now listen to this. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, Daniel said this. The man who was in the lion's den, the man that God delivered, my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Some people say angels are spirits, and that's what the Bible says. But here it says, even the man Gabriel. They're not ladies. Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. Some people say angels don't have wings. I don't know if they do or not. I just know that this one flew swiftly. Touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth. See? Why don't we just try it? Why don't we just one of these days come to the altar and experience a deep lava soap repentance. You know what I've said about repentance? You can have this 99 and 94, 100, whatever it is, 100% pure ivory soap, and it won't get the grease off after you've done some work on your automobile engine. It won't. It'll get the chunks off. It'll get a lot of the stuff that's not really embedded off. And I liken that under repentance. Some people just come and they have a cheap repentance experience. Just put their hands on a little ivory soap and run it under some cool water. And then they're ready to eat and lick their fingers. That's fine. But listen, if you want a deep repentant experience, get that borax or that lava soap out and rub it into your hands real good. And then rinse those hands in nice warm or hot water. And you'll get them a lot cleaner. And I think that we need some lava soap repentance. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you, if Daniel said, my sin, where do I stand with God? I wouldn't want to go in a lion's den. Unless I was ready. We want to be ready, don't we? I'm getting off the subject. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth. See, it's after this deep repentance experience. I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. Gabriel, go on down and see Daniel. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Wouldn't you love to have that said about you from God Almighty? I am greatly beloved. Oh, strive for it. Amen. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Here's where it all comes from, folks. 70 weeks are determined upon, not those that missed the rapture, upon thy people,
the Jews. And upon thy holy city, not Washington, D.C., not Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. I just read in a book today that the writer wrote and said, most emphatically he said, none of these six things have come to pass. And I'm all alone in my room over here, and I talk out loud, and I say, brother, all six of these things have come to pass. They're history. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. You know how Nehemiah built the wall? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. We're going to have that all on chart and show it to you. But not for himself. And the people of the Prince, that's Titus, that shall come shall destroy the city and the temple or the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant. Now, does anybody know what confirm means? We're not going to talk about that tonight, but I would just like to get you kind of warmed up and ready for it. And he shall confirm the covenant. Now, the books that I'm reading from the other viewpoint say that he shall make a firm covenant. Is there a difference in making a covenant and in confirming one that's already made? You can figure that out, can't you? It says right here, he shall confirm, not make. It's not an Antichrist that's going to make. It's Jesus Christ that already made a covenant and he confirmed it. Hallelujah. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He wasn't a sinner. He didn't have any sins to atone for himself. He didn't die for himself. He would have lived forever and ever and ever. And we would go on dying forever and ever and ever. But thank God, he submitted his will to the Father's will. And he died for you and me that we might live with him forever and ever. He shall confirm the covenant with many 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the midst of the week, in the midst of the week, 3.5 years of his ministry. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. The other side says that the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years, and then in the middle of the week, he's going to lie. He's going to change his mind. He's going to break the covenant. And he's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He won't let them go in their temple anymore and offer their sacrifices. There is no temple. There is no temple. That's where they get the theory they're going to rebuild the temple. You know why they're going to rebuild the temple, according to this theory? So that the Jews can go ahead and offer their sacrifices. And so the Antichrist can come, and so the Antichrist can break the covenant and stop them from offering their sacrifices in the temple. But listen to it. There's nothing here said about an Antichrist. Nothing whatsoever in the context. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm, Messiah shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, what happened on Calvary? Tell me something. Did he finish the transgression on Calvary? Did he make an end of sins on Calvary? Did he make it reconciliation for iniquity on Calvary? Did he bring in everlasting righteousness on Calvary? Did he seal up the vision and prophecy? It was the Most Holy Anointed. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. But they say that Antichrist will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease after breaking a covenant of 7 years. No way. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. But here, I want to get back. I'm just reaching out to another lesson. How would the Jews get back to Jerusalem? Okay. Now, God promised it. Jeremiah read it. Jeremiah repented for his people.
even though God said he would turn again their captivity, even though God said he would bring them back to the land. Well, Jeremiah read it and he says, well, there's no use praying. It's going to happen anyway. You know, we got a lot of people like that. They don't think there's any use of praying. They call that fatalism. Whatever shall be, shall be. No, my friend, whatever shall be, shall not be. Your prayers change things. Oh, we got to believe that. We've got to believe that. Daniel was safe and sound in the number that went back. Okay, so how would the Jews get back to Jerusalem? The Jews were captives in Babylon. Therefore, Babylon would have to be overthrown before the Jews could be set free and go back to their nation. Remember, folks, Babylon ruled the world. The world empire, Babylon. Listen to Daniel 2:36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. That's King Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over all of them. Thou art this head of gold. We'll get into that vision. So, from all natural reasoning, the Jews being set free from Babylon would be an utter impossibility. Listen how they lived and acted. Listen to their mood and in Babylon. Psalm 137 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept when we remembered where we came from, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord? Have you ever heard people worshiping God in spirit and in truth after they've backslidden? This is where King Cyrus enters the picture. Okay. Daniel prayed. God heard Daniel's prayer. God sent Gabriel to speak with Daniel. Now listen to this. God speaks to a heathen king. You want to hear about it? God's going to talk to a heathen king, and those Jews are going to be set free and go back to their land because God said so, and he said so a long, long time, possibly 200 years, 150 for sure, before it ever happened. You know something, folks? Prophecy, the fulfillment of prophecy, is an absolute, ungainsayable proof of the existence of God. And people hardly use it. They hardly use it. You've got to study to show yourself approved unto God. And if you will study, and if that fool out there, that atheist out there, that agnostic, that skeptic, that infidel out there would only study, if those professors that believe in evolution would only study prophecy, they would have to come to the conclusion, Jehovah is God. God Almighty. Have to. Have to. There's no way out of it. Let me talk to you tonight. Our God is so great. He is so powerful. There is none like him. Who is like unto our God? None of the gods are like unto our God. He is so great. He wants his greatness known. Read out loud. Romans 9:17. Read louder than you've ever read before, brother. Read louder than you ever have before. Daniel 9:17. Listen, God wants to be known by his creation. God didn't keep a secret. I'll tell you when. Romans 9:17. Okay, but hold it. Just a minute. Okay. God wants to be known. When God chose Abraham, when God dealt with Abraham, when God said he would make of him a great nation, he didn't want it to be a secret. And God doesn't want his church to be a secret. God doesn't want his power and his miracles to be a secret. Listen, read loud. Hear that? God wants to be known throughout all the earth. Hey, folks, let's not keep our salvation from sin a secret. Oh, let's not keep the miracles that we have experienced in this church a secret. Let's go tell everybody about it. Go tell everybody. God will be pleased because God wants to be known. He is powerful. He is greater than all the gods of the world. He is greater than all the governments. He wants to be known. He wants his power known throughout the whole earth. Hallelujah. Amen. It was impossible that the Jews could get out of Babylon and go back to their own nation again. But listen, we say, but God, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, a heathen king, the king of Persia, a heathen king, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Did you hear that? A heathen king, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates. We're going to come into this in a minute. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. You don't have to have any strategy. God is going to do it. And I will give thee... man-made strategy. God's got the strategy. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. And one of the truly amazing aspects of this man and story is that God called him by name 150 years before he was born. Now, if there's somebody here 50 years old, or just you add 150 to your age, how would you react if somebody gave you a book, or if you went to the library and you read a book and the copyright was 150 years plus your age? And you're reading the book and it's a pretty interesting book, and all of a sudden you say, thus saith the Lord, Jim, I have called Jim Barbie to release, free my people from bondage. I think your head would jerk. I think your heart would palpitate. Can you imagine this king reading some document, some part of the scripture? One of the prophets? He surely must have. We'll find out why. And reading his name in there? Woo! Listen to him. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Oh, I like that. Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, I will give thee the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I think that would be pretty convincing, wouldn't it? If God wrote a book and you had your name in it I think you'd believe in God. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun. And we sing that. We need to sing it again. And from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Ezra. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord, Jehovah. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you read capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you're reading about Jehovah, the self-existent one. And then comes Jesus. And he says, even as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. There are no two self-existent ones, no two eternal ones. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. You're talking about the most powerful man on the earth. The Lord, capital O, capital R, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. The world ruler, not 50 states, but the world ruler. And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Judah. Can you imagine that? A heathen king, king of Persia, was his servant, was his shepherd, was his anointed, and was charged with seeing that the Jews got home and got their wall built and their city built and their temple built. Praise God. Oh, man, I'll tell you, this just excites me. God is almighty. He can do anything. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the fathers, chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised. I hope somebody asked me a question on this. To go, because it's between the 10 tribes and Judah, and of course, the tribe of Levi, being the priesthood tribe, in the temple being at Jerusalem, they had to be with Judah, right? Okay. To go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also, Cyrus, the king, brought forth the vessels of the... Remember when Nebuchadnezzar, remember when Belshazzar, remember when they had that infamous party? Remember when they took the all the furnishings of the temple, all the utensils, I should say, of the temple out, and they drank wine? Oh, my. Do we have time? I guess we don't. Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, God's anointed, God's shepherd, God's servant. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered unto them Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. Belshazzar, here's the story and we'll close. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. I don't think God liked that. That the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. Having a drunken party. They were reveling. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour, listen to this, came forth fingers of a man's hand. Okay, here you are in Belshazzar's dining hall, let's say. Now, look on the wall, folks. I mean, don't look yet, but just think of this now. Picture yourself in this scene. 1,000 people, a lot bigger than this place. In the same hour, while they're drinking and having their good time, while they're defying God, transgressing his laws, word, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I think that if we were there, there would be some ladies that would go, ah! 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 Don't you? Listen to this. The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's joints of his loins were loosed. You talk about a loose belly. He had one. He had one. I don't care how many sit-ups he did a day. Everything came loose in his belly. His loins were loosed. And you talk about your knees knocking. This is the Bible talking. His knees smote one against the other. The king cried aloud, "Bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers." And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men. "This is our chance. This is our chance. This is our chance to be third ruler in the kingdom. This is our chance to get rich. This is our chance to get powerful and popular." But they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. There is a man." Oh, if we just had a few Christians in our tech schools and in our universities and in our high schools and in our grade schools, if we just had a few students and a few people in our workplaces, in the factories and in the offices and in the industry, where they could say, "Now there's a man. There's a man that prays. There's a man that knows God. There's a man that's got the Holy Ghost. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, but they took him into Babylonian captivity." But what a memory. "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar." Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation. Oh, saints of God, we've got people across the nation that write to this church sometimes and say, "Would you pray for so-and-so?" You know what they're doing that for? We've got confidence in your prayers. We've got confidence in those that kneel at this altar. We have confidence that God's going to hear you. When people are in trouble, let them call us. Belshazzar's in trouble. His wife's got the answer. Daniel, a man who knows how to pray, he will show thee the interpretation. Everybody else fails. The doctors, the hospitals, the surgeons, medical technology, it all fails. Oh, God. But God. God hears and answers. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. Can you picture that scene? Here is one lone man standing there before all of these magicians and astrologers and soothsayers and wise men. Standing there. He against them. He's going to do something they, with all their education, weren't qualified to do. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out a jury?" Methinks I can still hear his knees knocking. This is the way I see it. Emphasis mine. "I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now, the wise men, these fellows that I'm paying such a high salary, the astrologers have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. They could not show the interpretation of the thing. I've heard of thee." He's just kind of clinging to him, isn't he? "And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." See, Daniel knew the interpretation of the dream. And I'll just tell you something, folks. This world offers you a lot of fame and a lot of money and a lot of popularity. But this world is sunk. Don't buy into it. Daniel didn't buy into it. Listen to this. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. You know what Daniel knew? Daniel knew that Belshazzar's blood would be flowing that very night, and he would take his final breath. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father, grandfather really, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling places with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou his son, O Belshazzar, can you imagine standing before the king of the earth, the king of all the nations of the earth? And thou, O son, thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You know the history, Belshazzar, you know the history. You knew it, but you did not respond properly, humbly. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou, and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? O friend, we need to glorify God. We need to glorify God above our houses, above our cars, above our jobs, above our possessions, above our reputation, popularity. Oh, we need to exalt the Lord God. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found lacking, found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But the next verse says, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. I have so much more to say, but I would like for us to stand. Give us opportunity to pray tonight. Anybody that wants to pray, we have needs, friend. We have needs, folks. We have needs, saints. We have real needs. We have needs for the church. We have needs for the family. We have needs for our children. We have needs for our young people's department, and we have needs everywhere. Don't be a fatalist. Don't say whatever's going to be is going to be. Don't do that. Let's seek God. Let's find a place to pray. If you must go, God bless you. Kneel by your bed tonight. But I think it would be wonderful if everybody would find a place to pray and humble ourselves before God and make a commitment and a dedication to him that we are not going to take this world's prizes. We're not going to take it because it's dying. It's lost, but our God lives and reigns forever. God bless you as you pray.